شکست بزرگی که بر جنایتکاران وارد شد.
Well, that huge defeat imposed on the Zionists. So what you see, the goings on in the Palestinian land, they just remind us of some comments by the architect of the Islamic Revolution. He said that the first issue and the top issue of the Muslim world is Palestine, is the issue of Quds and the liberation of all Quds. Well, maybe some others get to realize this fact. It may take them some time, but we believe that Quds liberation will be around the corner. Now here in the Islamic Republic of Iran, we have announced that our Red Crescent Society, our relief workers, help and donations, they could all be collected and they could be flown to Gaza. We're trying to follow this so that we could get help to the people of Gaza. We should not hesitate for a single second to send them humanitarian aid and to erect some field hospitals so that our relief workers could reach out to the people and offer them services. We're fully prepared for that, not only for relief operations of telling the Americans, the accomplices of the Zionist regime, that this preparedness exists in the Islamic community for presence and for defending Palestine. It's not just the Islamic world, it's people across the world have announced. You can see all over the planet, they have announced that if these crimes do not stop, then you will be standing in the face of the world nation. People across the world, they're standing united in support of Palestine. So I would like to appreciate you, respected people. You've been out there on the street since the early moments, and you have announced, you have shown your hatred for the Zionist Americans, and you have shown loyalty and sympathy with the Palestinian people. My appreciation. And also those who got together around Palestine Square or in different cities across the nation, cities and towns and counties, and even in some villages, we had people who staged rallies to condemn the Zionist regime. So I would like to, as a servant of the nation, I really want to thank you all. And I'm confident that what can guarantee national security in our country is the very presence of you people on the stage, your participation. The most important component of power in the Islamic community is the popular presence and people being on the stage, and that is able to bring despair for the enemy and inspire hope for friends. We salute the heroic Palestine. We also salute heroic Lebanon and the resistance fighters, Hezbollah, Hamas, and all the resistance fighters all over the Muslim world. We also salute our Islamic nation, the martyrs of Palestine, and resistance. Hopefully, the Almighty God will bring success and victory for the Islamic community and the oppressed people of Palestine. Hopefully we'll see the annihilation and curse of the Zionist regime and the enemies of Islam. So hopefully we'll all face the right destiny, and we will be prepared to offer wholehearted services to our people and also protect the leader of the Islamic Revolution so he would be able to continue providing guidelines for us and instructions on our way and hopefully our fighters will be assisted by divine blessing, and the issues and predicaments of the Islamic community and those facing Iran, hopefully they will be removed. And that's the end of the speech.
Dear listeners, what you heard was Iranian President Dr. Seyed Ebrahim Raisi delivering a speech at a pro-Palestinian rally in Tehran. During this speech, President Raisi said, "Gaza hospital attack marks the beginning of the end to the Zionist entity." Dr. Raisi said, "Every drop of Palestinian blood shed by Zionist entity will hasten its annihilation." The Iranian president also said Operation Al-Aqsa Flood manages to inflict huge defeat on Zionist entity. Raisi said Zionist entity cannot compensate for defeats through committing war crimes and crime against humanity. The Iranian president also said Zionist entity is weaker than a spider web, as truly described by Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. Dr. Raisi said global community awaits effective action to be taken by world leaders against criminal Zionist entity. The Iranian president also called for immediate lifting of apartheid blockade imposed against innocent people in Gaza. Dr. Raisi also called on Islamic states to swiftly expel Zionist entity envoys and impose sanctions on Israeli products. Also, President Raisi reiterated Iran's readiness to send relief aid to Palestinians in besieged Gaza. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we go back to the normal course of our program. Many thanks for being with us.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
The U.S. Embassy, also in Tunis, the capital of Tunisia, hundreds of people condemned France and the United States for their support of Israel and demanded the closure of the U.S. Embassy in the country. Well, the U.S. is sending lethal guided bomb units, GBUs, to Israel as the regime continues with its bloodiest onslaught against the Palestinians. Informed sources said the U.S. is deploying a group of transport aircraft from its bases in both Europe and Asia to deliver the munitions to Israel, target both residential areas and critical infrastructure in Gaza. According to the sources, the guided munitions are meant to make up for the shortage of Israel's Iron Dome missiles. Fired during the Hamas operation, Washington has deployed two aircraft carrier groups to the Mediterranean so far. It has also ordered some 2,000 troops to prepare for potential deployment to support Israel. International lawyer Barry Grossman says the West is supporting Israeli onslaught against Palestinians in defiance of international law.
The United Nations General Assembly has repeatedly stated that Palestinians have the right to engage in armed resistance. There can be no doubt about this. And moreover, that everything that we're seeing happen right now is a war crime, is illegal. And how, by the way, they managed to get from being attacked by Hamas as an act of armed resistance, all Palestinians, while conceding that only a tiny percentage of Palestinians are associated with Hamas, beggars belief. What we have is the United States, the United Kingdom, the Economic Union, all cheering Israel on and supporting its premeditated plan to deprive all Palestinians of the essentials of life, water, food, medicines, basic safe accommodation, while at the same time subjecting them to endless barrages of bombs from the air and soon to come a ground offensive, having declared that a million of them somehow have to leave their homes and go somewhere, even though there's nowhere for them to go. So the mind boggles, and ultimately what we're seeing is the turning back of the clock when it comes to what's acceptable and not acceptable in warfare to the Middle Ages. And the Atlantic world should not be surprised if, as a result of their position, there ultimately is a great deal of blowback.
A number of Italian journalists and geopolitical analysts have held a meeting in Rome with video links to Gaza and Auschwitz. Hundreds of civilians were killed by Israeli airstrikes on a hospital in the besieged Gaza Strip. Attendees have stressed how the Italian mainstream media are biased and lack objectivity when reporting on the Palestinian struggle.
On Tuesday, a meeting called The Denied Peace, No Peace Without Justice was held in the Italian capital. The initiative was called by professionals belonging to the No Gag Network, a group that advocates for freedom of expression in Italy, and was attended by journalists and political analysts. Video links with residents from Gaza and Al-Quds were provided during the meeting, minutes before Israeli airstrikes on a Gaza hospital compound killed hundreds of people, mainly women and children.
Despite widespread media manipulation and misinformation, the public opinion perfectly understands what is going on. People know that it is Israel that is bombarding houses, hospitals, slaughtering civilians, including children in Gaza. Most of our journalists handpick the facts to manipulate the truth. Disinformation is systematic and strategic.
Pro-Palestine demonstrations have been held in a dozen Italian cities since the start of the Israeli onslaught earlier this month. This, despite the fact that Italy's mainstream media narrative has been painting the current conflict solely as a result of Hamas military operation in October 7, NTVs and radios have hardly reported on demonstration in solidarity with the Palestinians.
Unfortunately, the Italian media have chosen to take sides instead of trying to explain what is going on in Gaza. This attitude is very dangerous because it leads to a path of war. It doesn't certainly help peace. Similarly, consecutive Italian governments have given up on trying to act as brokers of peace. The current executive has merely said, "We support Israel," full stop.
Academics, international politics experts, journalists, and even theater managers who have publicly spoken out against the official line towards the conflict in Ukraine and that between Palestinians and Israelis now have often been at the risk of forced retirement, dismissal, or suspension. It is the case of Jewish actor Moni Ovadia, who has been recently forced to resign as director of the Ferrara Theater for his critical stances on the responsibilities of Israel in the wake of its war against the Palestinians. Thousands of people across Europe have taken to the streets over the past days to oppose the Israeli siege of Gaza and the horrors committed against Palestinians. However, EU state members have turned a deaf ear to the citizens' calls, opting to support Netanyahu's plans to raise Gaza to the ground and holding, this way, no regard at all for the lives of more than 2 million Palestinians. Max Civili, Rome.
Well, Pakistan has hosted a national conference on Palestine to condemn Israel's ongoing atrocities in occupied territories. The conference adopted a unanimous resolution that called for the launch of criminal proceedings against Israel for its alleged war crimes in the International Court of Justice. Our correspondent Nasser Kazmi reports from the Pakistani capital.
The National Palestine Conference brought together leaders of Pakistan's mainstream political parties, religious scholars, activists, and experts to discuss the ongoing war in Gaza and to seek solutions for peace and justice for the innocent Palestinians. The country's political leadership unanimously called on the international community to cut their ties with Israel in protest against its actions in Palestine.
It's totally brutality by the Israeli forces. We feel that the United Nations should play its role
And the Americans also should realize that war crimes are being committed over there, and the innocent people are being killed over there. Even the hospitals are not spared over there.
The participants in the conference demanded that legal proceedings be launched against Israel in the International Court of Justice for its brutal crimes against humanity in the Gaza Strip.
I believe that the rule of international law requires that all these people should be brought to justice as war criminals. This is a blatant violation of international law, and it is a clear commission of war crimes and crimes against humanity. And I believe that Israel should be dealt with the same standards of law as Israel and its supporters, the United States of America, expects others to behave like.
The speakers at the conference urged the Islamic world to follow Iran, which is raising its voice with full courage for an end to the ongoing Israeli atrocities against Palestinians.
Let me commend and appreciate Iran for its very clear and strong and bold position on the ongoing war between Palestine and Israel. Iran's stance is the stance which needs to be followed by other Muslim countries, especially the Arab world, if they want to have an independent Palestinian state.
The conference concluded with a resolution urging the international community to take concrete steps to support Palestinian cause and hold Israel accountable for its actions.
The National Conference on Palestine saw a unified voice from participants with different backgrounds. All advocated for the cessation of violence against Palestinians and urged the countries around the world to reconsider their diplomatic ties with Israel. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
And that brings us to an end here on this edition of the World News. Do stay tuned, though. Bye.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود
قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
In this program, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a part of a speech delivered by Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the veterans from the Sacred Defense and the Resistance Field. This meeting was held in the Imam Khomeini Hosseini on September 20, 2023, inaugurating Sacred Defense Week. Around the world, military bases are the place where forces are supplied from. But here, they came from the military bases, mosques, hayats, universities, seminaries, and schools. A school teacher would go to fight in the war, and his students would follow him. There were many martyrs who were high school students, many who were university students, and many who were seminary students. A large number of people from the mosques and a large number of those who spoke for the people of the members served this significant movement. These people were the defenders. There were families, housewives, and others in various sectors who were supporting the effort as well. In places where they were working to support their troops, they would wash the blood-stained clothes of the soldiers. This has been written about in the book of the Pool of the Blood, and I have mentioned this book before. The entire nation was involved in these affairs. Now, I'm not saying that every single person in the nation was involved, but this movement took place among the general public and among different levels in society. It was not limited to a group of people who would leave the barracks to fight and return.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The greatness of an event can be well understood from this factor and factors of this kind. In my opinion, dozens of clarifying and artistic works can be produced with regard to this aspect, especially with regard to this third aspect, who were the defenders. Work should not be limited to merely writing books. Now, I was just told that apparently they are making a movie based on the book The Pool of Blood. Hundreds of interesting works of art can be created like this, and God willing, they should be created. Some work has been done already, but more things need to be added. In terms of achievements, there are not limited to just a couple of achievements. If someone were to look into the achievements of the Sacred Defense, they could write tens of volumes of a book in the field.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Scenes out of the Gaza Strip are nothing short than a massacre. The hospital there is on its last breath, like the patients. Meanwhile, the Israeli military has ordered the evacuation of more than 1 million people from northern Gaza to, quote, temporarily move south to mitigate civilian harm. The UN has condemned this move, warning against devastating humanitarian consequences, warning that the evacuation was simply not possible.
Moving more than 1 million people across a densely populated war zone to a place with no food, water, or accommodation when the entire territory is under siege is extremely dangerous and in some cases simply not possible.
The Palestinian UN envoy had harsher words, urging the UN chief to stop Israel's crimes against humanity.
Stop this carnage of civilians.
Israel's UN ambassador, meanwhile, criticized the UN response to Israel's warning. The UN should be praising Israel for these precautionary actions, he said. For years, the UN has put its head in the sand in the face of Hamas's terror buildup in Gaza. This coming from a regime that has never heeded any UN resolutions, or international law for that matter, and has been called a child killer. The stats here speak for themselves.
More than 150,000 Palestinian civilians have been killed or injured in Gaza and the West Bank since 2008. 33,000 of those were children.
This is what Israel has in mind. The creation of two evacuation routes to the south of Barakah, which Israel has said will not be the target of Israeli attacks. Hamas has rejected that outright. There are fears that Israel is trying to bring people to the streets with the aim of creating gatherings and then taking casualties, something it has done in previous wars. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, it is reported that the U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, is negotiating with Persian Gulf Arab countries to convince them to accept the residents of the Gaza Strip. He has said that it is because the Israeli army is getting ready to raise Gaza to the ground. The expression to raise to the ground is one that Blinken used exactly. The plan is to transfer 1 million citizens to Egypt and then distribute them to Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Qatar, and the United Arab Emirates. What Israel has in mind is to prepare for a block-by-block warfare in Gaza. Israel has already stated that the goal is to destroy Hamas, disregarding the human costs, which may include the ones in captivity. And that includes Israeli soldiers' lives as well. The resistance fighters can use their tunnel network to get in behind the attack or to attack in all directions, to make it very difficult for Israel to effectively have an advantage. At the end, the U.S. and a U.S.-supported coalition will help Israel demolish the Gaza Strip, which the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has stated. The U.S. would do that through its aircraft carrier, the Gerald Ford, along with the U.K., who has sent surveillance aircraft. But not so fast. Hamas itself has plenty of firepower left in its arsenal, from drones to missiles and its fighters. And there are other players in this battle as well, who are willing and even more able to defeat the enemy forces. Hezbollah and a squadron of fighters, for one, who has said that it would act when deemed necessary. Israel's ultimate goal is a greater Israel, one needs to look at where the American forces are located. From the west of Iraq, on the Euphrates border, and east of the Euphrates of Syria. But if it comes down to that, there is one formidable force standing in their way, the Islamic Republic of Iran. The European Union has asked Elon Musk to censor information not conforming to the Western narrative over Israel's war of aggression against Palestinians in Gaza. The EU called on Musk, the billionaire owner of the social media website X, formerly known as Twitter, to curb the spread of what it called disinformation about Israel's aggression against Palestinians. In a letter to Musk shared on social media, EU industry chief Thierry Breton claimed that he had indications that X was purportedly being employed to disseminate what he called illegal content and disinformation in the European bloc. The criticism directed at X social media platform is part of a multi-front information war designed to control the narrative around anything surrounding the Palestinian issue and the latest anti-occupation operation. Palestinian support in the West is at an all-time high, despite Western leaders coming out in the open in defense of the Israeli regime and its relentless and indiscriminate aggression against Palestinians. In France, which prides itself for so-called freedom of expression, police attacked a pro-Palestine demonstration.
It's a shame that France is authorizing the protests in favor of Israel, but forbidding the protests for Palestine, arguing that they pose a security problem. They just can put some policemen and they will see that things will go well. We have the right to show solidarity with people who have been suffering oppression for a long time. This has to stop. Stop hypocrisy. Stop.
Western leaders and their media cronies have come out in unison to toe the same false narrative that the Hamas operation was unprovoked and that the Israeli regime is justified in attacking Palestinians. But they fail to mention the unbearable situation that Israel has created for Palestinians, both in Gaza and the occupied West Bank.
Also, this is just part of colonization. This is the last phase of European colonization. And notice that the countries that are most strongly in support of Israel are not just the United States. It's the United States, Australia, and Canada, the offshoots of England. Anglosphere, sometimes called, unusual forms of imperialism. These are settler colonial societies.
The West and its media apparatuses have turned to the disinformation campaigns to muddy the line between fact and reality. Perhaps the most egregious claim came from the Zionist outlet I-24 News. It falsely claimed that 40 Israeli babies were killed and that some were decapitated. The claim has been proven categorically false by media outlets. The claim of Israeli babies being killed was spread with no proof or source. Yet the very real footage of martyred Palestinian babies being pulled from the Gaza rubble was largely ignored by Western leaders and their influence accounts.
I am incredibly angered that word of mouth, unverified reports of quote-unquote rape and decapitation, which obviously draw on Islamophobic tropes, have garnered more and more political and global outrage than those very images, than a video of a nurse announcing and screaming in distress that her husband has been killed in an Israeli airstrike. And, you know, the PR strategy of the Israeli regime throughout all of this has been to invoke those Islamophobic sentiments.
Western media apparatus and celebrity apparatus are intertwined, and they propagate the so-called standard narrative about the righteousness of Western Israeli axis and the inherent evil character of Muslims and Arabs. Any deviation meaning support for Palestine is met with categorically false claims of anti-Semitism, racism, or outlandish smear campaigns. Decades of aggression, occupation, land theft, systematic discrimination against Palestinians, and oppression have largely been ignored.
The Israeli government have brazenly, publicly, and openly declared their intention to commit a war crime and have commenced that war crime against the people of Gaza, saying that they intend to starve of food, electricity, water 2.2 million people. That is a war crime under the Fourth Geneva Convention. They are raining down thousands of the most sophisticated missiles known to humanity onto the most densely populated area in the world. That almost every missile will incur civilian casualties, will and are destroying the infrastructure, the water infrastructure, the energy.
Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, says Israel will receive a heavier slap for the regime's ongoing massacre of the Palestinian people in the besieged Gaza Strip. The leader emphasized that the Gaza massacre will bring a greater calamity to the Zionists after they suffered, quote, an irreparable failure both in terms of military and intelligence. Ayatollah Khamenei further described as a destructive quake the anti-Israel operation launched by Palestinians. He said those who blame the operation on non-Palestinians are making mistakes. The leader underlined that the damage inflicted on Israel in the surprise operation by Palestinians is the result of the regime's own actions. Ayatollah Khamenei said the brave move by Palestinians was a response to years of Israeli crimes. The leader said Israel is now playing the victim card and that Western media outlets are helping the regime in this regard. Ayatollah Khamenei noted that the regime cannot be portrayed as an oppressed entity while it is actually a monster. He warned Israel and its backers that the bloodshed of Palestinians will bring them greater calamity. The leader said the Israeli regime is playing the victim card in order to double down on its oppression and justify its attack on people's houses, attack on civilians, and its massacre and mass killing of Gazans. The ferocious bombardment of the Gaza Strip has left the besieged territory in ruins. The residents of Gaza are facing unimaginable suffering.
But my neighbors, they didn't evacuate as well. They have their windows down. Here are their windows. And here is the family. They're gathering all together, also in a place far away from you. I was trying to explain things, but I think you can hear them now.
Aid groups say the damage to water, sanitation, and hygiene facilities have already disrupted services to more than 2.3 million people there. Israeli officials have cut water, electricity, and fuel supplies to the coastal enclave. Israel is squeezing Palestinians in Gaza further, extending an existing 16-year air, land, and sea blockade of the territory. Legal experts have been raising the question of whether Israel's actions could be considered a war crime by the International Criminal Court.
The humanitarian situation in Gaza was extremely dire before these hostilities. Now it will only deteriorate exponentially. Medical equipment, food, fuel, and other humanitarian supplies are desperately needed, along with access for humanitarian personnel. Relief and entry of essential supplies into Gaza must be facilitated, and the UN will continue efforts to provide aid to respond to these needs.
According to the UN, more than 187,000 of Gaza's 2.3 million people have left their homes. There are no bomb shelters in Gaza. Residents who have lost their homes have nowhere to turn except the 83 UNRWA schools across the territory. According to Palestinian health officials, Israeli strikes have targeted hospitals and medical crews. Hospitals are overcrowded with injured people.
Health facilities, patients, health workers, and civilians in general have to be protected and safeguarded, as Dr. Tedros has said over the week.
There is a shortage of drugs and medical supplies and a shortage of fuel for generators. The Palestinian Ministry of Health has called for a safe corridor to ensure the entry of urgent medical aid into Gaza's hospitals. The Red Crescent has delivered some medical aid to Gaza through the Rafah crossing, but the delivered aid is far from enough to alleviate the pains and sufferings of the people in Gaza. The Gaza power plant, now the only source of electricity, has run out of fuel. The loss of electricity will directly affect hospitals and the water supply.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. 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 کتاب
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
السلام عليك يا أمين الله في أرض.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Imam Ali alayhi salam was brought up under the care of the Holy Prophet Muhammad when he was just a small child. And so in this manner, the foundation of the moral and spiritual education of this magnificently intelligent child was based by the Prophet of Islam himself, the greatest educator of all mankind. Imam Ali's mental faculties were to an extent that he believed in the Holy Prophet and his mission at the tender age of 8. Therefore, Imam Ali, contrary to the other companions of the Holy Prophet, had never worshipped idols and never partook in the unreasonable demands, the oppressive actions, or the unjust acts of the Arab chieftains.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام إن مع كل إنسان ملكين يحفظانه، فإذا جاء القدر خليا بينه وبينه، وإن الأجل جنة حصينة.
أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام said, "With every individual, there are two angels who protect him. When destiny approaches, they let it have its own way with him. Certainly, the appointed time is a protective shield against the events which occur before it."
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio. The program's To My Brother, and we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So, dear friends, it is such an honor to be here. Of course, one of the things that we find when we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam is this idea of exerting one's health in the obedience to the Almighty Allah. Now, we find, of course, that Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says some very beautiful statements, of course. All of them actually are beautiful. But when you get a chance to stop and really kind of think about the things that His Eminence, the first divinely appointed Imam, has said, you really kind of are mesmerized at the beauty of these statements. And so one time we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam, he was talking about the zakat of health, this kind of like, tax that must be given. And here, even though normally we would consider zakat to be a tax upon wealth and like, you know, the things that are supposed to be taxed, whether it's camels or sheep or cattle or wheat, raisins and these other things, gold and silver, which have to be taxed in the Islamic zakat tax model, you kind of normally think about those things. Very rarely do you think about, you know, the zakat of health, for example. And so here, the tax upon health, which Imam Ali alayhi salam himself showed in his whole life, is to put forth an exertion and to put forth a hard effort and to really try our best when it comes to the obedience to the Almighty Allah. Now, so it's a couple of things here that are going on at the same time. One is this idea that, well, first and foremost, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us health in the first place. And so this health is really something that makes us indebted to Allah, right? It is the Almighty Allah who has given us the blessing to be able to be healthy. Now, in return, what is it that, you know, is required due to that health? Well, you know, what is required is the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, sometimes we really don't factor that. And it's interesting and kind of unfortunate that in our life, we will end up going, when we are healthy, doing bad things and listening to bad things and looking at bad things and just kind of becoming very arrogant and pompous and, you know, committing sins left and right because we have that blessing of health, right? And contrary to that, when we're sick, we have a tendency to really not commit a lot of sins. When we're feeling ill or when we're feeling facing some kind of a trial or tribulation, we end up not committing, those sins that we end up committing when we are healthy. So this is something that is quite serious and something that we really all need to think about. And that is that, you know, when we are healthy, are we committing more sins or less sins? And here, Imam Ali alayhi salam is telling us, you know, and he showed us that he spent his whole life in the exertion, in the obedience to the Almighty Allah. You know, I mean, he was at the forefront of the obedience to Allah. And from the beginning of his life to the end,
You know, in the end, he was performing his salah. He was performing his prayers, his obligatory prayers in the masjid when he was struck by a sword upon the head. So even till the last moment, he was in the obedience to the Almighty Allah. And so we too, especially in our health, need to be paying that zakat of the health, which is the obedience to the Almighty Allah. A very comprehensive lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Ali Imam Manasto Manam Gulam Ali Ali Imam Manasto Manam Gulam Ali Badar Jane Girami Fidae Naam Ali
تمام ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib this means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
تبقى عيني بدمع مشتاقيا قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبيب لها ولا راغي
Now we invite you to listen to Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
We are on two sides. Either you love Ali ibn Abi Talib or you hate Ali ibn Abi Talib. That's if you know Ali ibn Abi Talib. And that is why we find a hadith from our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. أَنَّهُ قَال لِعَلِيٍ يَا عَلِي لَا يُحِبُّكَ إِلَّا مُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا يُبْغِذُكَ إِلَّا مُنَافِقٍ He says, Oh Ali, no. That those who love you, that is a sign of iman. Yeah? And for those who hate you, that is a sign of nifaq, hypocrisy in their hearts. Now, we need to look, before we describe what is it about Imam Ali alayhi salam that makes him loved and hated at the same time so much, we need to have an introduction to understand this whole idea or this concept of this jazibiyya, as it is known in Arabic, this attraction. I don't have love for the person who curses Ali ibn Abi Talib. How? You tell me you have love for these people? The people who bomb and kill innocent Muslims and Shias in Sham, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, I say I have love for them? Let us look everything past? No, this is not Islam. Islam wants you to take a line and take a stance and say that I will not love these type of people and rather I will show and pray against these type of people. Now, when I meet these people, how will I behave? Naturally, the akhlaq of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhimus salam, has to be maintained. Yeah? Has to be maintained, my brothers and sisters. I'm not saying we show no akhlaq to them. But in my heart, I have no room for these people. And I will not hang out with these people. I will not show friendship to these people unless they begin to change their way. Yeah? So this is the second group of people. People who only have the power of attraction.
Then there's a third group of people. The third group of people are people who only have the power of repulsion. You meet them and you want to run away from them. They don't know how to talk. They don't know how to do anything. These are the people who don't have friends, don't make friends, and don't want friends. They would rather be all by themselves. In fact, these are the people who have no akhlaq. Because if they had an ounce of akhlaq, people would be willing to spend some time with them. But these are people who absolutely do not have the characteristic and the conducts of the Ahlul Bayt, and these are the people who we should avoid. There's a hadith which comes from our first Imam, Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, annahu qal, a'ajazu an-nasi man 'ajaza 'anil iktisab al-ikhwan. The weakest of man is he who is too weak to attract a friend, he says. It's the weakest of man. He is too weak to even attract somebody to become his friend. And then he continues, وَأَعْجَزُ مِنْهُ مَنْ ضَيَّعَ مَنْ ظَفِرَ بِهِ مِنْهُمْ. And still weaker is the one who loses friends and becomes isolated. Why? Because they have no akhlaq. Yeah? You don't want to spend time with them. Why would you want to spend time with them? Somebody who doesn't treat you well. So these are the people who absolutely repel everybody else.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
Mother, don't cry for me, I'm heading off to war. God Almighty is my armor and sword. Palestine, forever Palestine. Children being killed for throwing stones in the sky. They say to their parents, don't worry, God is on our side. Palestine, forever Palestine.
Black and white.
Los últimos acontecimientos en Cisjordania. La agresión.
Recently, the Israeli forces attacked the occupied West Bank city of Jenin and its refugee camp. They killed many Palestinians and destroyed houses, hospitals, streets, and workplace. The Jenin attacks created more than 4,000 new refugees. The Israeli army killed at least 12 Palestinians, injured and detained several other Palestinians as well. This is part of the history of the Zionist regime, which is made up of foreigners, that's been occupying Palestinian land and massacring the Palestinian people for 75 years. However, it has both national and international aspects. The Zionist entity itself has very strong internal conflicts. Netanyahu, who is an ultra-right, ultra-nationalist, and ultra-Zionist prime minister, disagrees with other Zionist sectors. But they all try to maintain the peace to keep alive the state a bit longer. They understand that they have failed in exterminating and subjugating Palestinian people. Palestinian people have paid the price during